When I was growing up, we had a utility room off the back of our house. It led straight into the kitchen. It was the main access point into the Ogrodowicz household, so it got a lot of traffic. And one day, I finally took the time to read this small sign that was hanging up. It had been there for a long time, but I had never read it until this one day. And it said, "It's easy to smile when life goes by with a song. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when everything else has gone wrong." I've been told Will Rogers said it. I don't know that for a fact. Even Google wasn't that helpful. But the saying itself stuck with me. Because we could tweak it and make it say, "It's easy to be faithful when life goes by with a song, but the man worthwhile is the man who can be faithful and smile when everything else goes wrong." It's not terribly difficult to come to church and put a smile on your face and have a pleasant demeanor. We sing together, we confess together, we pray together. We drink coffee together. We eat together. But you know, and I know, there are days, weeks, months, even years, when everything else goes wrong. Being happy and faithful while facing the world's challenges and temptations, that is a real struggle. For example, there are kids who go off to college. And when they leave home, their faith is intact. But time away from family, extended time away from that conservative Christian worldview, opens the door for the temptation to abandon that Christian upbringing and chase the sensual desires of the flesh that are now all before them. Sometimes young people leave the church, and as they get older, they marry and have kids, they come back. And there are those who leave, and they never step foot in the church again. The college student falling away, that's a popular example, but a serious one. However, regardless of your vocation, temptation is always present. It may not be beer parties and rock and roll that get you. But there's something else. To date, I've never had a Christian tell me, "You know, Pastor, the older I get, the less temptations I feel." That's good, because Scripture just teaches nothing of the sort. There's always something. And don't worry, temptations can change with time. What afflicts the younger person may not afflict and ensnare the older married Christian. Another example. Think about aging for a moment. Age brings with it physical weakness. Youth vanishes. And before long, we are believing and saying that maxim, quote, "Old age ain't for sissies." And as our bodies begin to fail, there is the inclination to despair and become depressed and forget. Forget about God's promise to you that He has secured for you life beyond what you see and what you feel. Life with Him, where sickness, disease, and death, these things do not exist. God calls His people to be compassionate, to be forgiving, loving, kind. But there is a temptation, a strong temptation, to withhold forgiveness from our neighbor until they come bowing at our feet, begging for mercy. These things get us, Christian. And so do many, many other sins made clear in Holy Scripture. And these temptations are powerful, and none of us are immune. Why is this? Why is it we can come to church? We sing, we pray, We hear God's law instructing us how we are to live. We hear his gospel, the good news where God declares unto you, your sin is put away because of Christ Jesus. And yet by Monday, we are desiring and feeling sinful things contrary to God and his word. And we do them and will even defend them. Why? One of the things the Lutheran reformers and Rome disagreed about was over the nature of man. Namely, just how bad are we? How sinful are we? Do we have some natural ability in us to merit things from God without his help? Or are we really sinful to the core, desiring wickedness straight out of the chute? For the Lutheran reformer, Scripture doesn't lie. And Scripture makes the answer clear. Man is sinful to the core, and born with a desire for wickedness, a desire that is just as much as sin as anything else. Every person, is infected with this condition that includes wanting those things that are off limits, and that is the reason we desire those forbidden things and the reason we defend those sins that feel so good to us, and we will even justify them before others. Let me ask you a question. You ever mustered up the courage to confront someone about their sinful behavior? Takes a lot, doesn't it? But have you ever done it? Only to have them turn against you. So instead of owning up to the problem, they defend their sin. And then they get angry because you have brought it to light. I'm not pointing at anyone in particular. You have to be careful. That's an example of the sinful nature. An example of that old Adam who falls for temptation and then defends it and despises you for bringing it up. We see temptation in the gospel lesson this morning. Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And we would do well to note, it is the Spirit who leads Jesus. Sometimes we are led into that wilderness and we face an onslaught of temptations. Don't worry. Christ is always your rock and your refuge, even during times of great distress. Jesus has been fasting for 40 days, and the devil comes. He's physically weak and hungry. He's really hungry when Satan hits, trying in vain to get Jesus to turn a stone into some bread. He wants Jesus to sin. He wants Jesus to fall away and so not be a perfect sacrifice. The devil comes when Christ is really, truly hungry. But the Holy Son of God, who has taken on human flesh, and yet he is divine in every single way, he doesn't sin. He doesn't take the bait. Instead, he quotes the Word of God. Friends, the written Word of God. He goes to the Old Testament and says to Satan, "Man shall not live by bread alone." So the devil shows him in a moment of time the kingdoms of the world. "Jesus, I will give you all of this if you bow down and worship me." Jesus again quotes the word of God. "The Lord your God you shall worship, and him alone shall you serve." Finally, the devil takes Jesus up to the pinnacle of the temple, tempting him to cast himself down, because the angels will not allow you to strike your foot against a stone. Our Lord Jesus responds again with his word, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Oh, Christ will manifest his glory, all right. But it won't be. It won't be by leaping from a building. The glory of Jesus, friends, the hour of his glorification, will come here. It will come when he hangs on the cross. But I do want you to think about these temptations for a moment. Food is good. We eat all the time. Food fills the belly. Food doesn't save. The bread of life, Jesus saves. Jesus, who feeds you spiritually, not by steak and potatoes, alas, not even coffee. He feeds you by his word. He feeds you by giving you his word. Having all the treasures of the world, friends, money, fame, power, is it worth having these things while worshiping the devil? Is it worth exchanging the soul for money? For money. And testing God when circumstances are challenging. God, if you're real, take my sickness away. God, if you really, really care about me, if you really love me, you'll give me this raise, you'll give me this promotion. No need for any of that. No need to put your God to the test, because God has already promised you in his word that he is your provider, he is your comforter, that for the sake of Christ, he is with you every step you take in this life, that even in death, there's no need to be afraid, because death is a gateway to paradise for God's redeemed children. We fall for these things. We often think a full belly is all we need, that money will solve our problems, and that if God does not show himself on our terms, then maybe he is a liar. Friends in Christ, the reason we are Christian, the reason we are here on this Sunday morning, this first Sunday in Lent, is not so we can pat ourselves on the back. The good news about being a Christian, rather, is that even when life does not go by with a song, we can still rejoice because of he who has borne every single burden caused by sin, by he who has conquered the devil and even temptation. Faith anchors to Jesus. Faith anchors to Christ. And faith in Christ makes us one with him. And so his perfect obedience covers us before God, who declares you forgiven, righteous, cleaned. God declares this. He declares it upon his children, baptized into Jesus Christ. Where we stumble and fall at the mighty law of God, Christ is perfect in keeping that law. And he remains so up until his death. And that perfection, that holiness, it is yours by faith, Christian. Christ and his merits. Christ and his merits, which include conquering the temptations that get us. They are yours. They are yours every day. You may think it's too late to change. That time has run out, and at your age, it's easier just to give in to temptation. Friends, that's a lie. That is a lie. Never is it too late to repent and trust in the author and perfecter of your faith, your Savior, Jesus. As you battle, remember, as you battle, he has already won. As you suffer, he has already suffered in your place when everything else goes wrong. Remember, he who has made all things, everything right by his cross and his blood. And it is his good pleasure to give you that, to give you salvation, to give you his kingdom. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which does surpass all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen.